In today's news headlines, William Barr, the nominee for Attorney General, testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday and was questioned at length about various issues, in particular how he expected to treat the special counsel's investigation. He asserted that he was friends with Robert Mueller and would respect his work.
Actually, the president wanted to know, he said, "Oh, you know Bob Mueller. How well do you know Bob Mueller?" And I told him how well I knew Bob Mueller and how, you know, the Barrs and Muellers were good friends and would be good friends when this is all over and so forth. And he was interested in that, wanted to know, you know, what I thought about, you know, Mueller's integrity and so forth and so on. And I said, Bob is a straight shooter and should be dealt with as such.
That's Attorney General nominee William Barr on Tuesday at the Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearing. Barr also said he didn't think that the final report from the special counsel's investigation should be released to the public, and that he would not recuse himself from overseeing the investigation if asked by ethics advisors to do so. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal later asked him about his views on what constitutes obstruction of justice, and here's how their exchange went.
Well, a quid pro quo to change testimony could potentially be obstruction.
Or for not testifying at all would be obstruction of justice. If the special prosecutor or the prosecutor anywhere else came to you with proof beyond a reasonable doubt of that kind of obstruction or any other crime, talking proof beyond a reasonable doubt, would you approve an indictment of the president?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm not going to answer off the top of my head. But if we take it out of this context and say, if a prosecutor came and showed that there was a quid pro quo by which somebody gives something of value to induce a false testimony or
it would be a crime.
Yes,
that's William Barr responding to Senator Blumenthal on Tuesday. In what was one of the most disturbing moments of the hearing, Senator Amy Klobuchar asked Barr about his views on prosecuting journalists.
Will the Justice Department jail reporters for doing their jobs?
I think that, I know there are guidelines in place, and I can conceive of situations where as a last resort, and where a news organization has run through a red flag or something like that, knows that they're putting out stuff that will hurt the country, there could be a situation where someone would be held in contempt. But
that's William Barr. He's expected to be confirmed by the Republican-dominated Senate as Attorney General. On our show tomorrow, we'll analyze the hearings in more detail. In news of the ongoing federal government shutdown, President Donald Trump invited some rank-and-file Democratic congressmen to the White House on Tuesday for lunch to discuss the impasse over funding for the border wall. He was attempting to bypass House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's leadership, but it didn't work, and the Democrats turned him down. There are reports of a new refugee caravan from Central America heading toward the U.S.-Mexico border. The caravan originates in Honduras, where about 2,000 people are fleeing together to escape rampant violence under a U.S.-backed government. Meanwhile, the Trump administration announced on Tuesday that it had called 50,000 furloughed federal workers back to their jobs, despite them not getting paid for their work. The workers fulfill essential functions such as processing tax refunds, overseeing air traffic safety, inspecting food and drug supplies, and more. Unions representing the workers asked a judge to force the government to pay them if they were required back on the job, but the judge denied the request. Almost nothing has changed since the beginning of the battle over the federal spending bill, and there appears to be no end in sight to the shutdown. On Wednesday morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked Trump to postpone his State of the Union address or issue it in print instead. The freshman New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has won a coveted position on the House Financial Services Committee. The committee is now headed by veteran Congresswoman and progressive stalwart Maxine Waters, and is one of the four committees overseeing Wall Street. Ocasio-Cortez has been a rising star in the Democratic Party, taking on Republicans and conservatives with ease on social media, and she'll now apparently extend that fighting spirit in legislative chambers. It is highly unusual for a newly elected member of Congress to serve on top committees. Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, "Personally, I'm looking forward to digging into the student loan crisis, examining for-profit prisons and ICE detention, and exploring the development of public and postal banking to start." Ocasio-Cortez has proposed a 70% marginal tax rate on wealthy corporations in order to fund the Green New Deal. A new poll released Tuesday found a surprising amount of public support for such a tax. The Hill Harris X survey found that nearly 60% of the public supports the idea, including majorities in Republican demographics. In international news, a suicide attack in the Syrian city of Manjib has reportedly killed several American servicemen. The Islamic State, which took credit for the attack, said it had killed 9 U.S. soldiers. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said a total of 19 people were dead. American spokespeople have confirmed the attack, but not divulged details of casualties. More than a dozen people were killed in Nairobi, Kenya, after gunmen opened fire on a high-end hotel and office park on Tuesday. The attack came more than 5 years after a similar deadly attack on a mall that killed more than 70 people. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab announced that it was responsible for this action. According to the Washington Post, the hotel, part of a Thai-owned chain, is popular for conferences and news briefings, and the complex also hosts scores of shops and offices, including those of many multinational companies, such as Visa and Shell. It's also a popular shopping destination. Before Tuesday, it would have been considered one of Nairobi's safest spaces. And finally, Britain is facing perhaps its greatest political crisis in the 2 years since the Brexit vote, when a slim majority had opted to divorce their nation from the European Union. British Prime Minister Theresa May failed to win support in Parliament for the latest Brexit agreement that she negotiated. Here are highlights from Tuesday's dramatic turn of events.
The ayes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
So, with your permission, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to set out briefly how the government intends to proceed. First, we need
the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The result of tonight's vote is the greatest defeat for a government since the 1920s in this House. This is a catastrophic defeat for this government. The most important issue facing us is that the government has lost the confidence of this House and this country. I therefore, Mr. Speaker, inform you I have now tabled a motion of no confidence in this government, and I'm pleased that motion will be debated tomorrow, so this House can give its verdict on the sheer incompetence of this government and pass that motion of no confidence in the government.
That's opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, before him Prime Minister Theresa May. On Wednesday, May announced that Britain would be leaving the EU on March 29th. And that does it for our headlines today.